This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.
If you have a green thumb or have always wanted one, then get ready for Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, hosted by Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Garden Talk aims to introduce new ideas, help solve problems, and keep you up to date on the latest developments in the nursery and landscaping industry. Call in now with your gardening questions. 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Now, here are your Garden Talk hosts, Ken, David, Mark, and George.
San Diego, you're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I am Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. We're going to be here for the next hour or so talking to you about all kinds of stuff going on in your yard and garden. Good morning, guys.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Did you see the moon this morning?
No, I did not. I did not see any stars, any moon, anything like that. It was high ceiling in my neighborhood.
As well.
So. Mine too. I was just...
Oh, you were going to tell us about a light you might have seen off in the distance.
No, exactly. It wasn't my
porch light.
The FedEx plane came in this morning, and I couldn't see it, but I could hear it.
Okay. It was much warmer this morning, though. It was like 58 when I came
really
down the hill.
Was.
It was lovely.
I put on my little outerwear to go down and let the chickens out, and I didn't need it. It was warmer outside than it was in.
Inside your house.
Nice. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Oh, yeah, my. Exactly.
Although I was listening to a Los Angeles radio station on the way home yesterday. There was a big beach festival in Redondo and Hermosa Beach
today
and tomorrow.
Oops.
You know what the high is going to be in Hermosa Beach tomorrow? The high?
No.
64.
64.
Nailed it.
64.
How did you nail it?
It was, well, the way he...
Because he got it at 64.
He was leading into it. It had to be cool, but it's 64 is just a number I pulled up. It
well,
worked.
And you pulled up correctly. Well done. Well, we are expecting a storm to come blowing through here, these here parts, tonight and tomorrow, too. And we are expecting between 5/100ths and 10/100ths of an inch of rain overnight tonight and into tomorrow morning.
Hmm. Now, that's measurable?
That is... Are we going back to... Are you living in the past?
Whenever I say it's measurable, you say, no, that's just a trace.
Yeah, that's a good point, Ken. When I say it was raining on my way down here, it's like, no, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't.
It was 3/100ths of an inch. Okay.
No, I say... You said that it said no rain in the forecast, and I said no measurable amount. And so I'm assuming... that the no measurable amount in your forecast that you were complaining about was less than 1/100th of an inch of rain. It was a trace.
Is much more.
Much more. Significant. Between 5/100ths and 10/100ths. Oh, my gosh. Speaking of between 5/100ths and 10/100ths, have you guys seen the video of Texas?
Oh, they got a little bit of rain.
The rain? Yeah.
Back in Houston?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The funny thing was... I guess it's not funny, but they said they got a month's worth of rain in 1 week, which doesn't seem that bad. But when you see the pictures,
I
was watching a news conference, and they were talking about the water being over the wires, making it dangerous for the electrical wires, making it dangerous for first responders to be out.
They can't shut the power off.
I mean, that's what I thought.
If they can shut the power off in the mountains here,
exactly,
during a windstorm, you would think that if the wires were underwater, that they could shut them off.
I would think the wires being underwater would shut themselves off.
Yeah. Somewhere there was a box that got shorted out.
Okay, good. Thank you. Yeah. That didn't make sense to me either.
Yeah. Yeah, that was like when we had that flood event here in San Diego, and they said we got a month's worth of rain in 1 day. It's like, okay, well, that's maybe 3 inches.
Well,
I mean, for us, it was bad.
That's exactly what it was.
Which was bad for us, but yeah, it's not.
You tell that to my fence, okay?
Yeah, you look at some of these places where they get just absolutely insane amounts of rain.
Many places that do get large quantities of rain have an infrastructure to support it.
It's set up to do it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, except for Houston.
Correct. So. Yeah, they take a lot of beatings down there.
They've gotten a number of floods over the past few years. Yeah. So I hope them all the best. I would move to Houston anyway. Right. But yeah. Let's see. What do we have going on today? We have garden classes at both stores in the first ones of the month of May.
Wow.
In San Diego, it's going to be pollinators with Katie. And in Poway, it's going to be xeriscaping with succulents and drought-tolerant plants with Dean. And he brought in – we got some neat stuff in for Dean's class. I was looking around through the receiving area yesterday. There's some pretty cool stuff going on there.
And he's going to bring some more today.
Of his specialty items.
Yes.
Let's see. Sunday is Cinco de Mayo. So if you're going to go
out. Which means today is –
Kentucky Derby.
May the 4th be with you day.
Thank you. I didn't want to do it. It is Kentucky Derby day, too. And we will get to that.
Oh, I know.
I promise you we will ask you.
So that meant a little
I want
more
you to
me
start
than,
thinking about it.
Whatever the other thing you just said was.
The Derby?
No. Never mind.
Oh, may the 4th be with you.
Yeah, I guess.
I didn't know about that being a thing until just within the last few years.
I didn't even know it's still a thing.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to believe. Yeah. Let's see. Next weekend, May 11th, classes.
Before you leave this weekend, it is the first Saturday of the month and the first Sunday of the month.
Yes, so Ronan Sharpening will be in the Poway store both days to sharpen anything that you have in your house that needs it. Scissors, knives, pruning shears, hedge shears. He can pretty much do it all.
And you're going to explain to him how to do serrated knives this week. Tutor him?
I don't think.
Okay. That's from 10 to 2? Is that the?
I think it's 10 to 2. Yeah. Both in Poway. Next weekend, the 11th in San Diego, it's going to be growing healthy soil and healthy plants in an organic garden with Randy Ritchie of the Malibu Compost folks. And at 9:30, it's going to be Tillandsia Care, Culture, and Varieties with Tammy. That's next weekend. And also next weekend, May 12th, is Mother's Day. So happy early Mother's Day to all of you out there. Let's see. Balboa Park today. Oh, it's the Irish Show and sale today in Balboa
Park. I
heard
the Irish Show, and I was going to ask Mark if he was
exactly
going.
I got excited for a second. No,
Irish. That's today and tomorrow. The Irish Society Spring Show on sale.
Are you going to go down there?
No, I've got something else.
Didn't last week
I might
you
try
say
to go,
that you need to go down there?
I do need to go down there.
We say that
every year for every event. And so one of these days. Next weekend is the 11th. It's going to be the Cactus and Succulent Society show and sale. And Epifilm Society Mother's Day sale is next weekend also. And then coming up, the 17th, 18th, and 19th is the Southern California Plumeria Society cutting sale.
Oh, wow.
So if you're interested in plumeria cuttings, mark your calendars for the 17th, 18th, or 19th. That's when they are going to be having their sale. There's all kinds of stuff going on today.
A lot of pieces of paper.
It's all... I'm going to have to recycle on those. Today, from 9 to 3 at the Home Depot in Lemon Grove, the Master Gardener Association of San Diego County is having their Spring Garden Expo. That's today and tomorrow. Well, it says May 4th, but it says two-day event. So, maybe there's two different ones. There's one on the 18th as well, and that's going to be at the College Area Community Garden at Zura Way in Montezuma Road. Near San Diego State University. That is the 18th. Today it's the Home Depot in Lemon Grove. And also today is Come to a Garden Party, the standard flower show for the Vista Garden Club. And that's today from 2 to 5 p.m. and tomorrow from 10 to 4 at Brengle Terrace Park. The plant sale and garden boutique is open from 12 to 5 today. And 10 to 4 tomorrow at Jim Porter Recreation Center, Brengle Terrace Park in Vista. So if you're looking to get out of the house and see what's going on, those are a couple of good things that you could...
In the storm that David spoke of?
Could you try again?
Was that your phone?
I'm not sure if it was my phone or my watch, but it was me.
Well, I kind of figured as much.
Had to be you.
One thing that we had mentioned. I think we mentioned it last week. The glow in the dark petunias that we got, the light bio petunias.
I think you're missing one word from that phrase or sentence.
What word is that?
Don't.
Well, it was funny.
Don't glow in the dark petunias.
I happened to be looking through an email from, I think it was from Ball Publishing, which is a subsidiary of Ball Horticulture, and it said, Karen Broll, owner of Broll's Flower Garden in Michigan, received 3 firefly petunias she ordered earlier this spring. Here's her unboxing report. The 3, yes, I ordered 3, light bio petunias just arrived. Packaged securely, but one was still a little shook up. Very dry, but look okay. Tracking info said label was created on the 19th, but not picked up until the 23rd. Somewhat concerning, so I emailed the company about that. Then Karen did what any of us would have done, see if they glow. Yes, first thing I did after unpacking is take it into the bathroom and shut the door. Nothing. But maybe it needs a little light or recharging after being in the box for so long. Now to not kill these things, we'll update you if anything dramatic happens. And I think it's safe to report that we have not had anything dramatic happen ours.
We tried light. It had an intense week, or a week in intense light.
And that light was 24 hours a day, right?
Yes, it was.
It wasn't just... No. Some sunlight.
And then I went and hung out in a dark closet. I didn't go to the bathroom with it. Maybe I went to the wrong room. But
regardless, there was no glow.
There was no glow. And I've kind of given up.
Maybe you have to do it on a timed exposure.
Under the light.
I don't know. So anyway, well, we will keep you posted on Light Bio. But if I were you at this point, folks, I would not rush out to
invest.
Invest. Yeah. And their annuals on top of that, so.
And that's an expensive annual.
Yeah, it is.
Well, if it glowed in the dark.
If it glowed in the dark, that would be one
thing.
It'd
be pretty cool.
Yeah. So, anyway.
The snails would know right where to go.
You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. We're going to take a quick phone call real quick. We're going to go up to Fallbrook, where Harry is waiting. Good morning, Harry. How are you?
Good morning. I just want to let you know, I don't know if you knew this beforehand, but the Vista Garden Club is having a garden show in Vista today and tomorrow. And... unfortunately, I didn't tell you last week or whatever, but I hope it's not too late to bring that news out. They're having it at Brengel Terrace in Vista.
Yeah, thank you for calling and let us know. As a matter of fact, we had just mentioned it before the break that it was going on this weekend.
Oh, do you know about it ahead of time? Okay, I just hooked in right now.
Someone sent us the email.
Yeah, someone sent us the email a week before last, and so we were able to get it on the air. But we do appreciate you calling in and reminding everybody, though.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Okay, thanks. Have a great weekend, Harry.
Okay, thank you.
Take care. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. I was going through that citrus email that we get every week.
Oh, the citrus growers.
The citrus growers thing. And there was an interesting little article in there on finger limes. And it says only a few Florida commercial citrus growers were on hand for the April 24th Finger Lime Field Day at the Citrus Research and Education Center in Lake Alfred, Florida. Most of the more than 40 attendants did not own citrus groves, and about half were women, definitely not the standard crowd for a CREC event. Those in attendance had various interests in finger limes. Some were homeowners, and at least one was a vegetable grower interested in an alternative crop. Speaker was Manuel Dut, University of Florida Institute of Food and Agricultural Sciences, Associate Professor of Horticultural Sciences, provided an introduction to the relatively new fruit in Florida. He reported that finger lime, a citrus relative, originated in the rainforests of Australia's southeast Queensland and northern New South Wales. It's a thorny shrub or small tree. Its juice vesicles are globular and lichened caviar. There's a current geographical summary of finger lime production. Australia has the most acreage under cultivation. There are small acreages in Asia, Europe, and Africa. In the United States, the majority of finger limes are produced in California and Hawaii. In California, they are commercially cultivated by several growers. Some have their own product label for export. In Hawaii, finger limes flower and fruit all year long and are harvested frequently. Most are consumed within the state. And there is a strong interest in finger lime cultivation in Florida, especially in the central and southern parts of the state.
You know what the most interesting part of that whole story was? Or the nugget. I shouldn't say the most interesting. The nugget I took from that?
What's that?
It's a citrus relative.
Right.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. I thought it was citrus.
I thought it was citrus, too. But then again, I guess not everything in the Rutaceae family is citrus.
Yeah, and I guess that's why it's not susceptible to HLB.
Right.
Well, it could be, but, you know, the Moreas are part of the quarantine. Well, it's part of the quarantine.
No, it is part of the quarantine, but it's citrus in my mind. It's the same as all the other citrus.
Well, and the genus is still citrus.
That calls it out as a citrus relative, not citrus.
I'd say it's closer to citrus than a Morea is closer to citrus.
Right. Well, it actually is a citrus as far as its botanical name is citrus.
Yeah.
Okay. So. Well, then it strikes me that whoever wrote that. How's that?
Okay.
There you go.
You know what? It wasn't mentioned there, but when you and I and Brian were up at the UC Riverside event 2 years ago, we had the opportunity to taste a number of different finger limes, and I didn't realize there were so many varieties.
I didn't either.
I thought there's
there's
a green one, you know, this big, and there were quite a number of different varieties.
Yeah, there's a green one. There's a red one. I didn't print the picture, but in the article there was a picture. They had a plate of fruit, and there were probably about 6 or 8 different
varieties of finger lime.
They have a fair number
up at the UC Riverside.
Oh. Yeah, and some of them were getting almost lime size. I mean, the ones that we get are usually about as big around as your finger, the fruit.
But like a finger lime?
Finger lime. Exactly.
Thank you. I was trying not to say that.
Yeah.
Some of those varieties actually got bigger than that. Yeah. I think the red ones were significantly bigger.
Pretty big ones. But when we were up there, they were not. Most of them were past their fruiting season. A lot of the trees were empty.
And those that had fruit were kind of old.
You had to dig in through the thorns to get to them.
Right.
Yeah, it's a neat plant. I really like it. I think it's a pretty plant. It does have a lot of
It has a lot of thorns. It does look a little different than a regular citrus as far as the leaf structure, but I think it's a good-looking plant. It's thorny, so on our property, it's in the thorny section of plants. It's not in the
with
the
rest.
It's not in the citrus section. It's over with the kai apples and the jujubes, the thorny plants.
Why?
Because it's got thorns.
Because it has thorns. It's in the thorny section.
So you're just careful in that area of the yard, or why did you group all of the thorns together? Is I guess where I'm headed with this question.
I think from a
were you thinking
a look, sometimes it's okay. It's a rare occasion, a rare event. It just ended up being that way. That's where they started, and so I decided we put all the thorny things over there. It started out with the finger lime went there just as a place to set it, and then the kai apples, which as you know have huge thorns.
Yes.
So we put it over there.
They're kind of thorny acacia-like, right?
They are, yeah. And then
any good? Are kai apples any good?
Well, you had them. Our friend Jacques brought some in. Mine are not fruiting yet. They're still young, but
Did Jacques, I have a tree?
You don't have a tree. If you want some, I have tons of seedlings. I'd be happy to give you a couple. Well, but you have to have a male and a female.
But I don't have a thorny section in my garden.
Oh, then you have nowhere to put
it. But I do have jujube, so I could – and I have a
finger line. There you go, in that area.
And yeah, maybe I could put it in between the two and kind of tie it together
make
as
it
the thorny.
Make it a big area.
As a
make
theme.
It, we would a call thicket. It a thicket. Yeah, yes. A thicket. Yeah. Yes.
But if you're interested in it, I'd be happy to give you a couple.
I think we had this discussion. Yeah. I didn't want the thorns.
Because I didn't have a thorny section. But you did eat it. Do you recall eating
them?
Yes,
I do.
Okay.
Well, is there somebody any good? On there?
I don't remember. I think it was okay.
Yeah, it's a very drought-tolerant plant, and it's very leather, a dark green. It stays green all year round, and it can be used as a barrier of some sort should you need it.
Okay.
There you go. All right, we're going to go back to the phones. We're going to go out to El Cajon where Teresa is waiting. Good morning, Teresa. How are you?
Fine. How are you doing?
We're doing well. What can we do for you?
Yeah, we were wondering what we can do. We have an invasion of slugs and also these black fuzzy caterpillars that mainly the slugs worse than the other. And there are so many of them. Is there a way to avoid spraying and another way we can do something else other than spraying? Or is that the only thing?
Well, for the slugs and snails, Sluggo or Sluggo Plus works very well. It's an organic slug and snail control. The Sluggo Plus also has an organic crawling insect control, so it controls sow bugs. I think earwigs is on
earwigs
the list.
Earwigs and cutworms.
And cutworms.
Probably the caterpillar.
And maybe caterpillars as well if they're on the if they're down on the soil. But those black fuzzy caterpillars, I can't remember what butterfly those morph into.
Are they? They're just quite a few, but it's the slugs that are the worst thing, really.
Yeah. Yeah, Sluggo will take care of it, and it covers a big area. 1 pound of Sluggo will cover 1,000 square feet, I think it is. Yeah, you don't have to put a tremendous amount down, and that will get the slugs and snails under control.
Uh-huh.
And it's safe to use around pets, so you don't have to worry about that.
Oh, that sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I was going to say, with regard to the caterpillars, if you're, I don't know, that you don't want to spray or you'd rather spray organic, but you can use BT to take care of the caterpillars or Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew to take care of them as well. Both of those are organic.
Mm-hmm. Okay. BT.
BT.
BT, yeah.
Okay. I'm writing that all down. And the other thing was, mainly the other, but we kind of let a lot of things go, you know. There's another thing, too, that people out this way are beginning to have problems with little rodents and animals getting under the hoods of their car. Is there a deterrent of some kind that's more organic that you have there?
Not that I'm aware of for that.
Well, there are some of those oils, the mint oils and things that are scented that are supposed to deter them, but I don't have a good answer for that.
Wondering, yeah, because then you have to keep putting them on and on and on. But on the Sluggo Plus that you mentioned,
mm-hmm.
is that something, how often would you have to apply that?
It lasts about 2 weeks, depending on watering habits.
Uh-huh. And then the BT also is something similar too?
The BT is a liquid that you would spray on your plants where you're being impacted by the caterpillars, and you could spray that as needed when you have the population of caterpillars.
Okay. We have a little bit of everything here, And I was wondering one other thing. What do you think about those liquid ant baits?
I think they work really well.
Yeah, taro works. Yep. The taro bait works really well. It's a boric acid bait, and they do work well. But one thing to be aware of when you put the bait out and the ants find it, you're going to have a tremendous amount of ants for a short period of time while they are hauling the bait away.
Foraging. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Well, we've had that version indoors, you know, where there's more ants indoors than outdoors in the past. That's why I was wondering.
Yeah, it's been a long time now, but we had a really severe ant infestation in our kitchen a number of years ago, and we tried tried to get it under control, and we couldn't do it. We ended up calling a pest control company to take care of it, and they had it taken care of within a day, and we have not had an ant problem since. So if you have a really bad ant problem in your kitchen, I would consider calling a professional pest control company to come out and take care of it, because they can do it much quicker and much more efficiently than I was able to. Let me put it that way.
Exactly.
I just received a rodent repellent tip, and it says Copenhagen snuff under the hood of the car. So put some chew under there, and see if that does it. I also am told that scented dryer sheets may help with that problem.
No, might be worth a try.
Rat traps.
Oh, yeah.
And just remember, if you put anything under there, to take it out before you drive.
Right. Yeah. What hasn't been chewed on or eaten, you know, but anyway.
Yeah.
Those are good tips. Dryer sheets. Probably works for other stuff, too.
It might.
May, yeah.
But they're very strong smelling, some of them. They about knock you over when you walk by it. But anyway. I think that's it. I know I'll forget something. I was just wondering, when you mentioned you had a really bad infestation of ants, and was that around 2016 or somewhere several years back?
No, it was way back, probably around 2004, 2005. We have not had an issue since.
Uh-huh. Okay, that sounds good too, because it was way out of control. But anyway, is this? Can I ask one last tiny thing?
Sure.
I was just wondering. Also, two of the citrus trees are very super woody, so woody you can barely get your hand through there. What do you recommend is the best time to cut through some of that, because it's got all these beads and fruit buds on there right now?
We generally recommend that you don't trim your citrus unless you just need to shape it, but you want your citrus to have a dense kind of crown to it, because protect the interior from the sun.
Yeah, it's so woody, like I said, you can barely press your hand through there.
If there are dead branches in there, just old remnant dead branches, you can cut those out any time, because there's no leaves on dead branches. So dead ones you can take out at any time.
Yeah, because I don't want to disturb. There's tons and tons of bees, because they love all the blossoms and everything. So it's just all kinds.
It's okay to wait until it gets done blooming.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, I guess that's it for now, and I appreciate your information and your help.
Anytime. You have a great weekend, Teresa.
All right. Thank you. You too.
Take care. If you want to give us a call today, 888-344-1170. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We'll be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. We're going to go back to the phones, and we are going to head out to La Mesa, where Nancy is waiting. Good morning, Nancy. How are you?
Good, thank you.
What can we do for you?
So I wanted to know, when you remove a sago palm pulp, you know, you take that little one off, do I need to put some kind of sealer on the spot on the big plant?
No, not usually. It's not something that we would normally recommend. You can usually just, once you cut it off, using like a sharp shovel or something like that to get between the pup and the main trunk, that area will callus over pretty quickly. And I don't see any reason to seal it. It's nothing that it certainly isn't anything that we normally do when on the odd occasion that we divide something like that.
Okay. All right. That's good to know. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call.
Right. Bye.
Bye. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number.
Now we know what sealer meant in the description there. That's what we were talking about. Okay. I had no idea.
What
did you think it was?
That's exactly what I thought.
I had no idea.
I thought it was going to be about pruning a tree and
Well, it kind of is.
Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah. But that's, well, that's what I thought.
That's because you guys are smarter than I am.
Yeah. But,
I mean, okay. I know. I'm okay with it. I was going to make a fortune dividing pups off of sago palms once and starting them all and putting them in the hot sun and clay pots. And I don't know if any of them rooted or not, but it quickly went by the wayside.
found a new line of work.
Yeah.
It was kind of interesting. Millie and I went down to Old Town on Thursday, and we were walking across the big grassy plaza right in the heart of Old Town.
I would nod my head knowingly, but it's been a long time since I've done anything other than drive through Old Town.
Well, when you get into the, well, there's the main plaza that you walk into, and all the restaurants surround it, and
right.
It's a big grassy field in the middle. And we walked through there, and I don't know how many hundreds or thousands of times I've made that walk through there, and we went down San Diego Avenue a ways, and then as we had lunch and we were coming back, as we're on the southwest corner of the grass there, I looked over and there's this big tree there, and walked over and looked at it, and it looks like a white bottle brush. And it's obviously, from the size of it, it's been there for a long, long time. And
you've probably walked
this was
past.
And I, like I said, I don't know how many times I have walked past that thing. This is the first time I noticed it, was on Thursday, and walked by, and it's beautiful. It's huge, and it's in full bloom. I got a couple of pictures of it. We'll have to, I'll send them to you, and you can put them up on the website.
Were there bees all over it? Did you know?
Oh yeah, there were bees on it. Yeah, but I. Yeah, just
interesting.
I've never seen
a white bottle brush.
Well, I showed you the picture of it, though. Yeah.
Okay. Up until you showed me the picture.
No, it was.
I was going along with the story. Yes, you did show it to me. That was the first white bottle brush I've ever seen. I don't know that I've walked past it 100 times like you have, but beautiful tree.
You've driven through Old Town a few times, though.
Yes, I have.
But you can't see it from the street. So there you go.
So there.
Can I go back to Kaiapo for 1 second? Because
yes.
I mentioned it and I didn't give any elaboration on it.
Oh, you've gotten a text.
Oh, I didn't actually. So. I just thought about it. I usually try to expand if I just throw something out there. But the Kaiapo, it's K-E-I. It's a South African plant. And again, we jokingly spoke of eating it, but it grows really well here in San Diego. They have them at the Wild Animal Park, at the zoo, clearly in my yard. And I know a number of folks that grow them. They grow very easily from seed. But what was interesting is they make a great jam. They eat, they're pickled. They eat fresh off the tree. But that, well, I was just looking at something. And it's in Kenya, besides the food portion of it, it is used mostly for live fences and hedges because it makes an impenetrable hedge.
Well, wow. I can put it back in my thorny section with my impenetrable natal plum head.
The Carissa, yes, you can.
Yes.
And you also have your jujube over there somewhere,
I do.
Right? There
so
you go.
I do have a thorny
It is
forest.
Salt and drought tolerant, so it's a very useful tree. Maybe that's why they're...
You know, I put my Eleagnus up there, the edible Eleagnus, which I guess all Eleagnus berries are edible. But the one we got from the guy who got tired of losing his nursery to frost and packed up and moved to Hawaii. Tom.
Peregrossi. Yes.
And what is an Eleagnus?
It's Eleagnus. I don't remember the species name of it. It's a variety. It's the silverberry.
Okay.
The hedge, the plants themselves have silver leaves. There's a common one that we sell. There's a variegated, a yellow and gray leaf, and the gray leaf one. They're very heat-tolerant, drought-tolerant shrubs, and they produce a tiny little berry that birds and rodents love, and I eat them too because I'm in the bird and rodent family. But this one, the species I don't remember the name of, is supposed to be a better edible, and they're supposed to be very nutrient-dense. Are you looking it up for me?
Well, I was just glancing at it, but what struck me was you said it's very drought tolerant or heat tolerant rather, but apparently it's not frost tolerant because he sold his nursery because of frost.
Maybe that was the plant that survived. Okay. Well, it was still there.
All right.
So we bought it. I bought it from him on a closeout when he was selling out everything to move. So it did not die in the frost. How's that?
Okay.
And I've had no frost problems with it. Are you going to give me the species name?
Well, there are several species, so I didn't have an answer for you.
Philippinensis? Is there a Philippinensis one?
I'll go back and look. I closed it.
I'll look.
I saw an interesting recipe online the other day for elderberry-flavored mead, and they took, God, I can't remember how many. It was a lot of elderberries that they could, you know, you could, they're tiny, little blue berries. Crush them up, and then you add 2 pounds of honey and water, and then you add yeast to it and let it ferment for 3 or 4 weeks. I don't know who's brave enough to taste it once you do that, but after three or four weeks, it's fermented into a elderberry mead, which they said is actually centuries old. And has an alcohol content of about 16% once it's all done.
Thomas, my son, makes mead.
Oh, yeah?
So I'll have to get him on that.
There's a meadery, I guess it is, up in Miramar that we've been to a couple of times, and I can't.
Do they have, what's the?
I can't think of the name of it. It's right next door to Serpentine Cider. They're all in the same. It's in the same place, but it's way too sweet for me. I mean, it's just way.
Fair enough.
I mean, I love honey, but that's just no. I can't.
I got you.
I can't drink it.
The fairs that they have, FAIRE,
with Renaissance fairs.
Yes. Do they have horses and Renaissance fairs at the meadery? Because it seems like a meadery.
No, they don't. But
it's funny you say that. I just watched a thing on a Renaissance fair and. The lady that was doing the presentation or whatever said the mead was the best part of the whole Renaissance fair.
There you go.
Well, you probably got to drink a lot of it to get through a Renaissance fair.
Fair enough. I agree with you.
I want credit here. I Googled Eleagnus philippinensis, which is the right one, and the first picture that comes up is a picture from Tom Peregrossi.
Really?
Yes.
How about that?
Isn't that it? It's interesting. It brings it full circle.
We've got another citrus-related.
Oh yes, we do.
Thing to talk about today. With many thanks to Monica Mogenet, who provided treats again for us this week. And this week it was.
I was told. I think, and I just realized. I thought Dan told me it was going to be a citrus upside down cake, and maybe he just said citrus cake. And I dreamt up the upside down part, but with the citrus on the top, it doesn't look like an upside down cake.
Now, here's the best part of this particular cake.
Yes, sir.
She went out of her way to make it gluten free so I can have some, which I appreciate.
That is spectacular. It is.
It's quite tasty.
Yeah.
And the citrus is from
made with Trovita oranges
from your yard
from the. Rancho San Diego, Jamul, Spring Valley Triangle.
There you go.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're getting really good.
Yeah. Last week she sent over some beet cake for us, which was outstanding. And if you want to give the beet cake a try, the recipe for it is actually in the May issue of our Garden Talk newsletter that the nursery publishes every month.
You know what the best part of that beet cake was?
What?
Two of you weren't here. And so I got double portions.
Well, and I couldn't have any.
So triple portions.
Yeah.
No, that was very good.
This is really good, without the ice cream or whipped cream as recommended.
Yeah, this is really good also. So we will take a look in the June newsletter, and we will probably have the recipe for this in that one as well.
And if it says upside down cake, don't believe it.
Well, I think the upside down cake is you bake it upside down, and then you flip it when it goes in.
Oh, is that how it works?
I think that.
I thought it came out on the bottom.
I thought that was how pineapple upside down cake works.
You
put the pineapple on the bottom of the pan, and then when you flip it over, it's upside down, and the pineapple's on top.
I'm glad I learned something
more
today.
More cooking tips when we come back.
There you go. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, George Allman.
Before you go away from orange almond upside down cake.
Yeah, yeah.
She told me she normally likes to make it with Cara pink navels or blood oranges because of the extra color contrast. You can see the Trovita orange is not as contrasty over the top of the almond cake, but it is quite good.
It's very good.
It's excellent.
And what I noticed on the actual handwritten note at the very top, what does it say, David? What
it says,
called?
It says orange upside down cake. I knew I saw it somewhere. So it's cooked that way. Not served that way.
Well,
I feel
it's
silly.
It's both.
No, because it's served with the orange up.
But if the orange is on, if the orange is on the bottom of the pan when it's cooked, and you serve, and you flip it over, then it's upside down.
I agree with Ken on this one.
Do you? Me too.
All right.
Well, maybe Monica can clear up that. Yeah. That question for us before next week. Let's see. Yeah, the fair is just around the corner. We've already started. We've already started gathering plant material for the installation and working on the plans for that. And you know, you don't hear too much about him anymore. But Don Diego was there's a big statue, a bronze statue of him, right at the entrance to the fair, and the clock tower has his likeness on it, which was moved from the center of the fairgrounds over to the entryway as well. But it was Tommy Hernandez was the gentleman who portrayed Don Diego, who was based on a landowner who had a Spanish land grant in the area way back in the day. But he played Don Diego from 1947 until 1985.
Wow!
Or 1984, or I guess 83.
Oh, that's no big deal.
He died in 83 in 84. So I guess in June of 84. So his last season would have been in the fair of 83. But he was always there, and he would see him all over the fairgrounds during the run of the fair. But he was also an actor. He did a bunch of Mission Impossible episodes.
Did he really?
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, I found that out when I was looking through this.
Well, I'm gonna have to check that out.
But yeah. It was also interesting, and I didn't realize this either. In 1986, the Don Diego Scholarship Fund was started by the fairgrounds, and in addition to the scholarships for school seniors, they funded the buses for the Plant, Grow, Eat program that Rich is involved with that we help support.
Oh, wow.
And
that was Jill's baby way back when.
Yeah, they sponsor buses for thousands of students to get to the Plant, Grow, Eat program at the fairground, so...
And they're doing that again this year, although this year it's going to be before the fair opens.
That's right. Yeah. Well, kids are still in school, I think. Was that?
Yeah. Well, that makes more sense, I think, to do it while the kids are in school if you want to get a larger population of kids. However, the other side of that is everything ready in as far as the plants.
Right.
But they used to bring their radishes to the fair for judging, and then they got to enjoy the day at the fair.
Yeah, I remember.
So now they're going to get to enjoy a day at the infield, which you're supposed to go check out this
week. We are going to go check out next week, and with the invitation from Rich to go see it. So, yeah, we are going to go do that. And we'll probably have pictures of it in the June newsletter when that comes out next month.
And I'll bet that it'll include some pictures of the racetrack, won't it?
It might.
Just a chance.
To the stretch run this time instead of the back stretch. So all the pictures I've ever seen, all the pictures I have are from the back stretch. So But it is spectacular.
I'll have a word with Rich.
Well, he could just run me over there in the golf cart.
Okay.
So anyway, that's just one of the things that you just don't. You walk by the statue every time you go to the fair, and you don't even really think about it that much. But it was a pretty big deal for a long time. And the other thing that was a really big deal for a long time that they don't do anymore, and I'm not sure when they stopped it, was the Fairest of the Fair competition. And they just don't.
I forgot.
They let that go. But that was a big deal every year. Was the Fairest of the Fair. So anyway,
okay. I just got an update on the upside down cake.
Oh,
and it says, and I just, it's going to be difficult for me to say. Hello, David. Ken is right. Correct.
Well, so, there you go.
I don't say that very often.
No, you don't. Because it doesn't happen.
The cake is baked with the oranges in the bottom of the pan and then flipped. All right.
Told you.
I just don't have enough upside down cakes, I guess.
I guess not.
Wasn't one of your dad's classmates Fairest of the Fair?
Yeah, 1958.
Yes.
That was the year that my dad graduated from high school.
Yes, and
it was Raquel Tejada.
Right.
It was Raquel Welch.
Right.
Yeah, she was Fairest of the Fair in 1958.
I recall your dad showing me a photo going, do you know who this is? And it was like a 8-year-old girl. I don't.
No.
And he goes, this is one of my classmates. And I said, okay. And then he showed me a picture of the adult. And I do know who that is.
Yeah. Yeah, they went to Bay Park Elementary School together. Way back in the day.
It's funny because Don Diego then stayed at the fair year after year after year. I don't remember Raquel Welch coming back year after year after year.
No, I don't recall
that
either.
She moved on to bigger, better things.
I don't recall that either, as a matter of fact. So, if you're looking for things to do today, we have classes in both of the stores at 9 o'clock in San Diego. It's going to be Pollinators with Katie. At 9:30 in Poway, it's going to be Xeriscaping with Succulents and Perennials with Dean. Cinco de Mayo is on May 5th, so for all of you that celebrate, have a wonderful and safe Sunday. On May 11th at 9 o'clock in San Diego, Growing Healthy Soil and Healthy Plants in an Organic Garden with Randy Ritchie of Malibu Compost. And I think somebody said he doesn't eat the compost anymore.
He does not. I asked him if he does.
Okay.
He said, nope, that was the other guy.
That was the other guy. Okay. Good. Yeah. At 9:30 next Saturday in Poway, it's going to be Tillandsia Care, Culture, and Varieties with Tammy. Mother's Day is May 12th, so get a shout-out to all the mothers out there. I'm sure we'll say it again next weekend. And in Balboa Park this weekend, it's the San Diego Iris Society Spring Show and Sale today and tomorrow. And next weekend, it's the Epiphyllum Society Mother's Day Sale. And the Cactus and Succulent Society show, meeting, show, and sale. And that's the 10th, 11th, and 12th. And then the 17th, 18th, and 19th, it's the SoCal Plumeria Society cutting sale. So if you want to get some cuttings for the summer to add to your plumeria collection, that's probably a good place to start. Today from 9 to 3 o'clock at the Home Depot in Lemon Grove, it's Spring Garden Expo brought to you by the Master Gardener Association of San Diego County. And also today...
Did you mention Ronan?
Oh, Ronan Sharpening will be in the Poway store today and tomorrow. And there's also the... what did I do with
it? I should bring some knives in.
The Vista Garden Club's 88th Annual Flower Show... and plant sale is today and tomorrow at Pringle Terrace Park in Vista. 2 to 5. Flower show is 2 to 5 today and 10 to 4 tomorrow. So that's about it for the show. We will be back next week with another hour of Garden Talk right here on KCBQ and KPRZ. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thanks for joining us on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, your source for gardening, landscaping, and horticulture news. Still have a question for the Garden Talk crew or want to learn more about the show, how to become a guest or sponsor? Send an email to askanexpert@walteranderson.com. That's askanexpert@walteranderson.com or visit walteranderson.com. There's more professional gardening advice next week at this same time on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery.